Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they pick a cult hero from the past to lead the line, or will they go for a young whippersnapper from the modern era? It's totally up to them, because it's their best 11. Our guest this week is one of my favourite artists. He's born and bred in the Steel City, and he first achieved fame with the Long Pigs, and then with Pulp. As a solo artist, he arrived at the magnificent Cole's Corner and has since become one of my most loved performers. It is, of course, the magnificent Richard Hawley. Welcome to your best 11. Can you tell us who you support and why?
Sheffield Wednesday. And I support them. Well, definitely it's not on kind of track record or silverware, you know, but it's one of them things. I always call it, it's like the Harry Potter sorting hat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that when you're a kid, you know, when I was a kid anyway, there weren't as many, you know, kids that supported Man U, Liverpool. There were, but they were to be avoided, you know. is you know, you supported the team where you were from. That was a thing back then. And, you know, it was either in Sheffield, well, there's three teams here, obviously, is the Sheffield FC, the oldest football team in the world. Mm-hmm. Just sort of get that one in.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Blades, United, or Wednesday, the Owls. And my family were all Owls, so it was, you know, I didn't want to upset the apple cart. So, you know, I went with the Owls.
Makes Brilliant. Sense.
And what was your earliest memories of football?
I'm playing it at school, you know. I wasn't very good. I was never good at football, but I was an enthusiastic, not very good at, you know. And just playing in the park with my mates, and then going to the match. That was we weren't very wealthy people, you know. The family wasn't very wealthy, but it's when there was a bit of spare cash, you know. My dad and my granddad would take me to the match, and I just remember holding their hands, these two great yes. men in my life, and just walking to the match, holding their hands. I remember very little about the. You know, the scoreline and all, they didn't seem to be very important. And I remember being on the cop, and when Wednesday scored, you know, this is before seats and all that, and all the kids would end up somewhere else on the cop, you know.
Sort of thrown around then, the place, yeah.
Yeah, literally, and as things calmed down, you'd get somebody whistling, somebody saying, anybody lost the little kids? You know, like, and you just get passed back, you know, wherever it was. Oh, that's mine, you know. I just remember getting passed back over loads of blokes with smoking as well, you know,
yeah.
over their shoulders back to wherever it was that you started from. You know, that's my earliest memories. You know? And then, of course, the classic, which was the thing you look forward to the most, which was at half time having a pie, you know.
Yeah, yeah, the smells. Every talks about the smells of the football match they remember as a kid, don't they?
And of course, in Sheffield, we've got this amazing condiment called Henderson's Relish.
That's right.
Ooh.
Which is beautiful. Which you know we get on. We put it. I mean, I put it behind my ears before I go to prison. You know,
he's not joking.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's done me well, that, I tell you.
So the great unwashed then, Rich, what would it equate to?
It's a nicer Worcester sauce.
Is it in that territory?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. And you see it on tables in Sheffield. It's good with cafe and things and pubs. It's on the table like you'd have vinegar or somewhere else in the rest of the country. There's a bottle of Henderson's there.
Good for them. Well done, them.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's been made in the city for over 100 years, so it's kind of, yeah, you know, you get it given at weddings, you know, that kind of thing.
It's in the font when you're baptised.
Do you
know, when I'm gone, I plan to be, you know, it's in my will, you know, I'm going to get embalmed in it. You
know? Nice, nice.
In Hendo's. Did you have a favourite player as a kid, Richard?
Yeah, it was Roger Wilde was my favourite player in the 70s, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a legend, still is. He's a DJ now. He does these, similar to yourselves, actually, but he's based in Chesterfield, and he does, like, sort of talk radio about football. He's a great bloke, and I see him on match days occasionally, you know, he'll turn up, and he's a lovely bloke. A lot of those old players that I watched as a kid that have become pals, you know, and, you know, Laurie Madden and all those, you know, I watched them, and then to actually sort of stand with them and have a pint is nuts, you know, David Earth and all them, you know.
And you're still a kid again when you do that, aren't you? This is the beauty of that, is that you just regress in their company, don't you?
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's funny because, you know, having been in, you know, pretty successful bands and stuff, I've had some really funny occasions, which you guys and maybe your audience might enjoy, is not naming any teams or anything because it would be bad juju, but is, you know, in hotel rooms after hotel bars after concerts, very often we've been in the bar having a few scoops and then there'll be, you know, a football team in. And invariably, you will kind of get together and sit, and all the football lads, they all want to know the rock and roll stories, and all the rock and roll boys, they all want to know about football stories, yes. You know.
When you started going to matches, Richard, in your teens with your mates, what was it like? Did you have any like sort of pubs you went to on the way? It's a great area, Hillsborough. And I know it's a little bit out of the city centre to go, but around that area is fabulous on match day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really buzzing, you know. I mean, I wouldn't pick one out. I mean, I used to go to them all.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
If I pick one out, I'm likely to get in trouble. You know what I mean?
In now, since you've become well known, really, the last sort of two decades, it's different when you go to the games. You've been on the pitch and you've met the people that run the club now, don't you? It's a different experience, you know, going to the games, isn't it?
For me now, yeah, is at, you know, for my ill-gotten gains, I get invited to the director's box and all that, which is a bit, ooh. You've crossed over to the other side, and you know, I go with my mate John Roddison, and that it's a completely different experience. There was one brilliant story where I took Jarvis Cocker, who we were in Pulp together and all that, and he's one of my oldest living friends. We've known each other since we were like very young teenagers, and we were there, the local pop stars, you know, in the director's box and all that, really enjoying the whole thing. And then one of the people connected with the club says, look, will you do the half-time tombola draw?
And, the honour.
And I said to Jarv, I said, do you want to go on the pitch and do this? And he just goes, what, us? And I went, yeah, they can't get any real celebrities, so it's me and you, you know what I mean? He just says, oh, let's go on. Of course, we walk on, you know, with our shiny boots and that. They're going to get covered in mud and all that. We didn't care. And we go on with the mascot, Ozzy Owl. And I forget the name, but to my shame, the other's two. Maybe you could Google it for me. And there's two of the mascots, and we go on with them, and we're doing all the draw. And actually, listening to your own voice when you're on the pitch speaking into a microphone is quite daunting.
Yeah.
Anyway, we did all that, and then Ozzy Owl. Of course, he's got a huge kind of, you know, polystyrene, whatever it is, foam head on. And they've got the local match photographer, and he's just doing souvenir photos. So we're at the side of the pitch after we've done all this, and we're having all these photos with us, arms around each other, the club mascots and all that, and it's all smiles and all that. And then the guy who was wearing the Aussie Owl thing, he says to me, Ollie, I've got to pull you. And I'm sort of smiling, you know, going, what is it you want to say, you know? And he's going, I've got to thank you, mate, for that album, True Love's Gutter, because every time I put that on, I'm guaranteed to get Lego with our lass. And of course, I haven't got a massive, rubber head on, and everybody can see my face, and Jarvis as well, and he heard it, and both of us were just in bits, just trying to keep a straight face for these cameras, you know, and smile and wave and all that. And when we got into the tunnel, we just fell about, like, literally. Brilliant. Our hands on his knees, just laughing his heads off, you know. So
brilliant.
Oh, classic.
Richard, have you got a favourite piece of memorabilia, like a scarf or a top or anything Wednesday connected that's important to you?
Yeah, I've got my granddad's scarf still.
Oh, wow. And,
fantastic.
And he had that from the 50s. And he's got to the point now. I mean, it's not particularly threadbare because he looked after it, but it looks old. Mm. And I don't take that out. And my dad had his Wednesday top from the 50s. And unfortunately, a few years ago, we had a washing machine that was on the blink and it shredded it.
Oh, no.
Well, I kept it. I've still got it because the whole thing. But yeah, the things I treasure is little things like match tickets. I've kept every single one. Wow. I've ever, you know, every single, even if it's just a stub or something, I've got everything, you know. And recently, actually, a mate of mine, James, he found something at a car boot sale, which was, the back of the car window sticker, which was from the 1993 season, which says on it, I'd rather be watching Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it's in, he got it in a car boot sale, God knows where, but it's in absolute mint condition. So obviously whoever had it probably wasn't really bothered about watching Sheffield Wednesday at all. But, you know, he bought it me a few weeks ago, actually, just before lockdown. And it's that, because it was such a kindness and a thoughtful thing. And we've all got bits and bobs, you know.
Beautiful. That's lovely.
And I love that idea because once you start keeping things like ticket stubs, you can't stop, can you?
And you remember stuff. When you find the ticket,
you go back through
and
it's there.
I remember that, Kevin. I remember doing that. It is. It's
etched
great,
on your brain,
yeah, it's a great thing to do, actually, just keep stuff like that.
But it's also, it's like a diary as well. I'm like that with all my, the passes from concerts and stuff and tours and all that. I kept everything right back from the first ever gig that I played when I was 12 years old in the Firth Park Hotel with my dad during the steel strikes when he started up a little, not a folk club, but where a lot of the striking steel workers could go upstairs above this pub called the Firth Park Hotel. And Annie, the landlady, she used to do Yorkshire puddings on Sundays, you know, with gravy and Henderson's relish.
Splash of Henderson's, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, it was a little bit before I started putting it behind my ears. But, you know, he'd kind of teach these lads songs and stuff. And then there was a local beer called Ward's Beer. And I used to tear, you know, you've always ripping beer mats up and all that. But I tore off the Ward's sign on one side and got my dad to sign it. And my dad says, what are you asking me to sign that for? Because, well, this might be the last gig I ever played, Dad. And he goes, you silly bugger. Don't worry, son. Don't worry, I'll have you on next week at least, you know.
Oh, bless.
And I've kept everything, like, you know, and now with Arctic Monkeys or Shirley Bassey or whoever it is I've worked with, and it's like my diary. And the football stubs and the tickets, it's the same thing, you know, because without them, to be honest, my memory is so sharp, I think that I'd be a bit lost.
And I've got to say, Rich, I've seen you on the box with your 7-inch record collection, so I knew a collector and an obsessive man when I saw one immediately.
Yeah, that was a great
This is it. I've got like 6,000 7-inch singles.
Wow.
But the trouble is, the thing is with that, is I remember every single one.
Of course.
But when our last says to me, do you remember what Auntie Moya said the other week I can't remember a word, you know.
But you remember the B-side on that record that came out in 1971?
Your
brain
works.
B-side, I remember drummer's name.
Brilliant. Richard, have you got a favourite player now?
Barry Bannon.
Yeah. Oh. every Wednesday fan says this.
Bannon, best air cut, best player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a stalwart. And then when I like watching him play anyway because he reads the game you know, he's a great provider of the ball. He's scored some belters over the years. And But he's like one of those things that a team needs, which is now he's kind of, you know, getting a bit older and he's got so much experience that he just seems to be somebody that he's like our talisman, you know what I mean? To me, anyway. And I was gutted when, you know, Ati Nuhu moved on.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy, not being horrible, but, you know, he wasn't blessed with the greatest of traits to be a footballer in a lot of ways. Because he's a big guy, he's really ungainly. But the goals that he scored right when we really, really, really needed him, you know, he was another magical figure in recent times. And of course, Ati goes right back to when we were in old money, the old Division Three, you know, before we went up to the Championship. And that's that season was amazing, you know. And he'd be Bannon for me. And I've got a great picture, actually, of my son stood with Barry that actually I do treasure. And there is a funny story, a very funny story, is my sons, for one Christmas present, they bought me a signed picture of Barry. And for some reason, I don't know why, I didn't put it on the wall, but I leaned it against one of the bookcases in our bedroom. And I do remember my wife saying, "It's a bit disconcerting having that in the bedroom. Can you get rid of it?" And I deliberately left it there. And then just before I turned the light off one night, I did say, "Good night, Barry." And she said, "That's enough. Right, you've got to get rid of it."
I've got to say, even I'm creeped out.
I love it.
No, please, Barry, if you're listening, please don't get the wrong impression. It's just a freak out, laugh out, that's all.
Rich, have you found time in your long football following life to find another team that you're kind of warm to?
No. When you're touring, you're travelling. No, I guess I have, actually. It's probably Villa, really.
Okay.
Odd one, but our drummer, Dean Beresford, Dino, he's a monster Villa fan. His grandfather used to play for Villa as well, and Dino's writing a book about it, which I guess at some point you guys should chat to him.
Yes, let's do that. Yeah, too right.
You know, and Dean's grandfather's history, and you know how he inspired his son with football and drumming and all this. It's like an amazing story, and also Dean's a smashing chap as well. But when you're on a tour bus and there's loads of lads and a lot of the, you know, the women also follow football as well, is you kind of, even when we're not on tour, I'll always check West Ham, Villa, Southampton, even the Blades, you know, bless them. And let me just try and think. Yeah, that's about it, really. And that's all the roadies or me or our drummer's team, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll always check the results for them. And my mate, Danny Thompson, the great legendary bass player, he's a massive Chelsea fan. He was a fan right back to when they only had three sides on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'll listen out for Chelsea, and we'll text each other on match day and stuff. And Andy Dimmock, one of our backline tech, he's a massive Hull City fan. And you always just check them out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the nice thing, taking the football on the road with you, I mean, this is the great, isn't that a great comfort zone for you?
Oh, completely, yeah. I mean, when you're away from home for months on end, it's funny actually how much, it's football and food in a way, you know, things that I remember one time we were in America and we were on tour and we were playing Atlanta, Georgia, and all of us, had, you know, we're all northern lads, and we're all a long, long way from home. And we start getting itchy for a curry. And of course, over there, you might as well order Sputnik on toast, because it's complete, you know. I think it's changed a lot now, but back then, I'm going back, you know, 15, 20 years. And we're in Atlanta, Georgia. And Trevor Dunford, our then sound man, bless him, he's no longer with us, unfortunately, but he was a top bloke, Blade, actually. And he had a word with the promoter, and he says, "Oh, there's this legendary curry place, an Indian restaurant, just down the street." So TD, Trevor, his nickname was TD, or Tedious, okay, you know. he booked us this table, and we went down, and there was pictures of Michael Jackson and Mick Jagger and Muhammad Ali all around the wall of this place. And we're in Atlanta, Georgia. We're in a curry house like that. And we've just died and gone to heaven. And then this bloke comes up and he just says, "Right then, lads, what are you having to drink?" in my accent, you know. And we all just turned around and went, "Well, where are you from?" And he goes, "Barnsley." He goes, we're all from Sheffield. And he goes, there was a pause and a bit of quiet, and he just goes, "You're not having any free drinks."
Well, it's the most Yorkshire response.
He just stereotyped it, didn't he?
Yeah, I've just shattered us all forever now, you know. But it was funny.
Richard, I got to say quickly, there's a, you can tell us whether it's true. There's a great urban myth or story about you, which everybody knows, where I believe you went on tour for quite a long time and you finally come home and somebody has put one of your kids in a Sheffield United top. And the legend goes...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and you walk past and go, doesn't say hello, what's he doing with the Blades top?
Yeah, that's true. That is completely true. That was our Danny boy, that. Oh, obviously, Johnny, you've met my sons, you know. Yeah. And I mean, the last time, you haven't seen him for a year or two. They're massive now. Danny boy's, you know, he's 6'2", Lou's 6'1". But this was to do with a countryman of yours, this Johnny.
Yeah.
Is, as you know, my wife's Welsh, and her father, he's Dave, he's just into rugby. That's his thing, you know, rugby and cricket, and doesn't really care about football. So anyway, I'd been away on tour for a very, very long time. And Danny boy was at that age, he's coming up 3-4 years old, and he's wanting to know what team he's supposed to support, you know, all that. And again, it's the Harry Potter. We're back to the beginning here, you know, the Harry Potter thought in hat. And I was away on tour, and his grandfather's Welsh. So he took him down to this old sports shop in Sheffield, which is now gone, sadly, called Sugg Sports. It was there forever. And David said, "Well, I'll buy you a football top, no problem." And, you know, in the end, because Danny said, "Well, what team's daddy support?" And Dave goes, "Well, I don't know. I'm Welsh. I'm into rugby, you know." And so they did eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he picked the Blades. So I came back off tour, and I'd got all these presents and all this, and he runs out, my firstborn son, going, "Daddy, daddy, daddy," and he's got a Blades top on. I'm just, I lay down on the sofa, gripping the duvet, like, as if I was strangling somebody. "What's he got that bloody top on for?" And, of course, Danny was all upset, you know, so I had to behave myself, and, you know.
See, I thought he'd done it as a good joke. And if he was all sincere, and he thought he'd done the nicest thing he could have done for his dad, and you just blank him.
Yeah, just blanked him. That's it. You know, son of mine, he's only 3 years old, but you know, son of mine, I blanked him.
It's a great story, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
I was told that in Sweden by Magnus Carlsen. Yeah. Told me the story. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I think Danny's 20 now, so I think he's forgiven me.
Yeah, now. He's let it go, and he's also over 6 foot tall. So you better clear this one up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Richard, we're going to take you through your best 11.
Yes,
please. You have a choice. You can do club or country. You can do Sheffield Wednesday, or you can do England. What would you like to do?
It's got to be Sheffield Wednesday, you know.
Lovely.
I mean, for me, is not picking out in any way particular players. We can do that, but is the team, you know, when Ron Atkinson was manager, and Howard Wilkinson, that sort of period of time was just incredible. You know, with Waddle and Hurst, you know, Kevin Pressman and all those. That was just an amazing period of time. I mean, if you want me to pick out individual players, I'll have to get my sticker book out, lads. You know what I mean?
No, it's okay. But listen, I'm happy to talk about those players and that team and that period. I mean, Chris Waddle in particular is a huge hero and held in with great affection by Sheffield Wednesday fans. And because of the way that team played as well, they were such an attacking side, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They just, and it was all upfield, you know. And it was just, you know, as a fan to watch. And I'm not decrying teams before that with Roger Wilde or Mel Stirland, you know, and later teams as well with David Prutton, you know. And that team was the one that got us up from, you know, Division One to the Championship, and that can't be underestimated as well. But you know, it's magical. Especially when you've got so little silverware as Sheffield Wednesday has, is, you know, to watch them win, you know, the League Cup. I think we beat Man U 1-0, and you know, we were runners up in the FA Cup that year, and it was, you know, incredible memories. You know,
the two fellas that I think of, I mean, David Hurst is one of them, because I interviewed him a couple of times, and in, you know, at the ground, and you just got the sense of how important he was to Sheffield Wednesday. But also the other one who's that era is Carlton Palmer. Who, of course,
Carlton, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What a player he was. And but he got, when he made the England squad, people didn't know what that was all about. But he never let anyone down, did he?
No, he was 100% committed to the ball and to the team. You know, watching him was amazing. You know, yeah, I've met Carlton a few times. You know, and John actually, who I go to the football with, they play tennis together. You know,
do they
really?
And,
wow. Yeah.
He still lives in the city, Carlton, does he?
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, I mean, I don't do tennis. I go to the pub, you know. But
it's the obvious option.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course, tennis or pub.
Or pub.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me think about that.
For not too long.
This is the Best 11 podcast from Talk Sport.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I was just going to ask you about one of the questions that we wanted to ask you, is about your favourite ever kit. It's such an iconic kit, the Sheffield Wednesday kit, probably the most famous blue and white striped kit. Have you got a favourite kit?
Yeah, mine's like the 70s, but like late 70s, early 80s kit, that sort of period of time. I think it's because there was so little advertising on it. I guess it's just when you're young, you know. I think so, you know. You've got kids now, and I don't think it's necessarily about style or anything. I mean, although it did look cool, you know. And I've got a couple of the Repro tops, you know, that I wore about the house on match day, and my sons laugh their heads off at me, you know.
You've got your superstitions, though. These things are important, aren't they?
Oh, well, I've got one, you see, which is you know, match day. It doesn't matter whether I was on the cop or whatever. I just started doing this thing where I wouldn't go to the seat until they started playing Hi-Ho Silver Lining. And there's something about when you walk up those steps and the crowd are singing Hi-Ho Silver Lining, you know, the old Jeff Beck tune.
Yeah.
Which is the tune they play. And you get, you haven't, because I'm not one for the big match build-up, you know, with all the cheering and the whatever it is, you know,
the pitch
daftness.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really, call me an old misery, but I is the best bit, well, being a Sheffield Wednesday fan, it's often the best bit.
Before it starts.
Yeah, yeah. I might as well go home after that. Really. is you know, you walk up those steps and it's everybody singing that, and they go, hi-ho, Sheffield Wednesday. And the hairs on the back of my neck just go up straight away. And it's like an electric pulse down your spine. And that's something I've always done for years and years and years. You know, I used to get told off by my dad because I'd do it and then go, oh, where we sat. I can't remember where the hell we sat. You know,
I was just want to say it's been fantastic. This, yeah, I really enjoy it. But I just want to talk to you about. You said a wonderful thing to me once. You had to travel the world to come back home to Sheffield and sort of settle. And you're very proud and a great lover of your home city. And it is a fantastic city with two great football clubs, three, as you said. And it's a special place, isn't it, to watch football, Sheffield?
Yeah, growing up here and the history of it, because, you know, football, league football. I still don't know, Johnny. I think we've discussed this in the pub a few times. Is why it doesn't say in Sheffield, when you pull up in a train or you're driving up, and it says, you should say, well, welcome first, but welcome to Sheffield, the home of league football. I just don't know why we don't do that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we're pretty much the only place that's got, you know, the right to say that in a lot of ways. I know there's various other clubs that think that they have, but they haven't. And but they invented the rules here. You know,
yeah, they did.
It's all you. It is all you. Straight through.
It's a remarkable history.
But the thing is, they're going to, I don't know whether they have, but the pub where they actually wrote all the rules that the FA took on, they've either demolished it or they're just about to turn it into a Tesco's. And it's like, you know, hand on forehead moment, just thinking.
That's grade two listed history right there, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we tend to do this to ourselves. You know, if cities were cartoon characters, we would definitely be Homer Simpson. we do it to ourselves all the time, where with the things that, you know, you can just see if somebody got hold of the idea, they wanted to do, you know, tours and, you know, how many football fans are in the world? How many million?
You're right. They would come from all four corners, wouldn't they, to see where the primal ooze of football was, and that would be it. Yeah,
and we knock it down and turn it into a supermarket. It's just nuts. And I mean, Lou, my youngest, he was there with his young football team at Sheffield FC when Pele landed in a helicopter. The first thing he did when he got out of the helicopter was get a tiny pair of scissors and a little bag, and took a cutting off the pitch.
Wow.
So he knows. If Pelle knows, how come everybody else does?
That's like by royal appointment, then, isn't it, in that case? Fantastic. Yeah. Wow.
You're getting the sword on the shoulders there.
Yeah. Too right.
Richard, it's been absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to see you for a pint soon, and we can reconvene on getting this sorted out for Sheffield.
Yeah, well, it's been lovely, lads. You know, I've got to walk the dogs now, but, you know, when I've finished, I'll go to the pub, and I'll be thinking of you guys. All right.
Thanks, that's Richard. 2K. All the best, buddy.
Cheers, see you. Yeah. Cheers, Rich. Nice.
I'll order three pints, but unfortunately, because you're not there, I'll have to sit more.
Right. Yeah, no, you think, you know, but that's nice that you're thinking of us.
Oh, I'm thinking of you, lads. Don't you worry.
The Best 11 Podcast from Talk Sport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 Podcast. Don't forget there are new episodes out every Monday and Thursday, so join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.